produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Grace, peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Everybody, this is Dr. V again. Welcome to Love Your Making. Listen, I've missed you. We're coming back together again to offer you part two of Joshua halfway up the mountain in the backdrop of our Exodus Now revelatory messages in this season. Listen, we always start out with prayer. Come on and pray with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Father. We magnify your name this day. Truly, you're worthy of the praise. What an awesome God you are. You're still Jehovah Jireh in our lives. You're still the great provider. You're still Jehovah Rapha in our lives. You're still the great healer. You're still Jehovah Tiskanu in our lives. You're still the God of righteousness. And Father, most of all, you're Jehovah Shalom. My God, you're the God of peace. And we thank you for your peace today. So much to come and rob us of our peace, oh God. But you are here to, and like Jesus says, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth I give, you know. And so we thank you for that peace that passes all understanding in this present global season, to where there's sickness and disease and there's wars and rumors of wars. There's man's inhumanity, the man. But God, you keep us centered in you and your peace. We are square in Psalms 91. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and we abide under your shadow, O God. And Father, we decree and declare, as your word says, that no plague will come to now I dwell in. O God, we thank you for your love and protection. Thank you for your wisdom you're going to impart to us and this teaching, Father God, and the anointing you give Dr. V to share it with us, the ears that you anoint in our hearts and our spirits that you anoint so that we might receive it. And it's in your Son Jesus' name that we praise you and we pray. Amen. I'm so happy to be back with you again. This is part two. It's so full, so, you know, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, but I'm going to give you a quick review of last part one's teaching. We started out talking about what Joshua's name means, okay? And it is most important for you to know that, because the bottom line to this, just like Joshua, you know, we need God's help to do anything and do anything well, right? And so as a leader, Joshua's name was changed, you know? And this is what his name means. You ready? Write this down just in case you didn't listen to part one first. You know, Joshua was a servant to Moses, right? And so in order for him to do that, he was probably one of the first deacons in the Bible, right? But in order to do that, you know, he had to have a name change. And when God changed his name, he changed his name, and it meant a whole lot. And I just want you to let that sink in, what his name change means. So, you know, I'm slowing it up because I want you to make sure you got a pen already and you are writing it down so you won't forget it. You know, you won't forget what Joshua's name means, because it's going to be significant as we move forward in this teaching. Ready? I'm going to give you a couple seconds because you got to get it. All right. Joshua's name means God helps. How many of you as leaders raise up both your hands? Know that all the time, if you're going to do something awesome in God, you're going to need his help, right? And it also means Jehovah saves. How many times you need it? Oh God, I need you to save me from this mess. I need you to save me from these circumstances, situations. I need you to save me from these challenges. So Joshua's name became, it went from deliverer, helper, to God helps, Jehovah saves. God changed his name to teach Joshua, listen to this, to teach Joshua that he would be a victorious general only. And I asked y'all last time we were together to circle that only, you know, because that's important, by God's strength and by God's help. Amen. So leaders, remind yourself, listen, I'm only doing this with the help of the Lord and only with God's strength. I couldn't do it on my own strength, and I couldn't do it by myself. I couldn't do it with my own wisdom. It had to be the wisdom of God. I couldn't do it in my own patience. And I had to have the patience of not only Job, but God's patience too. You know, I had to have the heart of God, the flow of God, the mind of Christ, all of that in order to lead effectively. Listen, we are sage leaders, and we're having a conversation leader to leader bringing our cups before the Lord, and we are learning to love what? Our making. And so we find Joshua being a deacon to Moses. We find Joshua being a spy going over to Canaan and coming back with a great report. Yes, there are giants there, but you come back and there's milk and honey and big grapes, and you know, let's go take it. Let's go take it. Joshua's ready to do it. Joshua was a courageous captain that's there. But when he came back to report, and all of those naysayers, they wanted to stone him. They wanted to get rid of him. They did not want Joshua's leadership, because Joshua was going to ask them to do what? Come out of their comfort zone. And he could do it because he had courage. What? He had that God-given kind of courage, right? Yeah, he did. We talked about at the end of our part one, we talked about a leader that experiences rejection. You could be halfway up the mountain in terms of your leadership when you run into a group of people, or one or two people, don't have to be many, that reject you, but they are in places of influence. And so people see them reject you. And so if the people around them that see them reject you, and they don't have enough backbone, as I would say themselves, they may join in with the rejection. And so it's a very hard place for you to be in when you are rejected. And so I talked to you about how Paul was not accepted readily as an apostle. He was the only one there on that horse that saw the great light and heard Jesus talk to him. And then when he began to come forth, people only remembered his past. They only remember him killing the people of the way and persecuting them and that kind of thing. They didn't know that he had seen a great light and didn't know that Jesus had called him himself and anointed him and appointed him and destined him and purposed him to come into that role. So he spent 14 years in obscurity, in and out of jail. He was a jailbird as well as a tent maker, but he experienced some rejection. He experienced great shipwreck, 27 times beaten, all that kind of thing. Hey, everybody don't want to gravitate to be a leader when you realize how much you have to go through, right? Hello. Don't sign me up for that Christian Jubilee if you tell me in advance what I got to go through, right? Joseph spent 13 years in prison. He was a dreamer. And as a matter of fact, well, we end up finding him on the throne, okay? Second in charge, you know, that kind of thing. And they found that he was a strategist and someone that saved the people in a time of famine, was going to do great work. But guess what? He had to be in prison a couple of times, sold into prison, sold into captivity, sold into bondage before he could come forth to be the great leader, second in charge to the leader of the land. So Joseph, that was his plight. It didn't help that he had a coat of many colors. That didn't help him. But his gift from God, hey, his ability to see dreams and interpret those dreams and be wise about it and be not pulled into and tempted by the Pharaoh's wife and that kind of thing. So many characters that we can see strengths in Joseph. But yes, 13 years in prison before he ended up on the throne. Moses, 40 years in the wilderness before he became a deliverer. Joshua, 40 years in the wilderness before he became captain. And Jesus, 3.5 years in rejection in his earthly ministry, and he became King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So here we go to this part. I'm going to start out here. Every great leader needs a witness. Not only you need a great mentor, but you need a witness of peers as well, to see that the Lord has called you, appointed you, and anointed you to do. It can happen without it. Paul didn't have it necessarily, but later on they began to accept him as the apostle, which he was. But it's good in this day and time to have a witness. So here we go. 1 Timothy 4:14, Deuteronomy 34:9, and Numbers 27:18 comes these messages from The Making of a Leader by Frank DiMaggio. That's my reference book. And I'll be sharing with you commentary from that book. God told Moses to lay hands on Joshua because Moses had the Spirit of God in him. Hello, your mentor, your leader. I know my mentor, Brenda Wright, had sat under Captain Kuma's ministry, and Captain Kuma had laid hands on her. Harry and Carlton Pearson were in a circle of the last people that Captain Kuma prayed for before she died. Captain Kuma was a mighty preacher, mighty teacher of God, anointed, and she laid hands on my mentor before she died. So here we go. In doing this, Moses identified Joshua as a leader in Israel and also imparted to him his own spirit of wisdom. Similarly, the leaders of church today should submit themselves to God and to the presbytery for the laying on of hands. This act both identifies a person's ministry and imparts special spiritual gifts, which must be continually stirred up, as like Timothy, and used for who? For the Lord. For the Lord. Not for filthy lucre, but for the Lord. If a leader truly has a ministry, he need not fear to receive the laying on of hands by the presbytery, because God always confirms his true ministries. The laying on of hands help better prepare a leader for a spiritual battle. Now, you know, I talked about that. God is preparing us for battle. And we must be great foot soldiers and as well as horsemen. The laying on of hands helps better prepare a leader for spiritual battle because it gives him some sure words of what? Prophecy, upon which he can stand and believe God. After receiving the laying on of hands by Moses, Joshua was set before Eleazar, the priest. This speaks to today's leaders of the necessity for other ministries to recognize his position. When Moses commissioned Joshua, it was in front of Eleazar. Joshua took his charge from Moses in a fully responsible way, as being under a higher authority and ministry. He also valued, on a horizontal plane, recognition of his ministry by his peers in ministries of similar importance. Likewise, all church leaders should be secure enough in their own ministries to submit to other leaders in the church. If a leader cannot submit to other leaders, he will not be prepared properly to submit to God in the future. Get this. God said, you never seen me. Mm-hmm. But I have put men in place like Moses, huh? Like Elijah, like Elisha, like John, like Paul, like James, you know, like Timothy, like Matthew, you know. These are leaders that I've anointed, and they can mentor you, okay? Joshua was given his commission by a higher ministry, recognized by equal ministry before the entire congregation of Israel, the same congregation that wanted to take him out, right? This process cultivated in Joshua the ability to relate to others in a horizontal type relationship, as well as the vertical. I can answer to and serve and be submitted to my peers, as well as be submitted to God. As with Joshua, all of God's leaders will undergo a fishbowl experience in which all of their lives are open, transparency, and exposed before the people of their church. How transparent can you get? How naked can you get before the people? Such a type of commissioning process makes the taking of authority upon a leader a very, 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 very serious business. It also calls for a holy, exemplary, and transparent life on the part of the leader. This is a vital part of a leader's training. Halfway up the mountain, you're going to figure that out, because every leader must realize that it is to such a congregation that he will minister. In other words, particularly now and in the climate that we live in, it's important that people trust you, that you are in that fishbowl so they can see your life, appreciate your life, not ask you to be perfect. Just be real. Just be transparent. Just be accessible. Amen? Joshua did not have a proud or independent spirit about his ministry. Thank you, Father. He waited. He waited until he received a formal commission from the hand of Moses and before the priesthood and the people. This is not to say that a leader cannot preach the gospel without ordination papers. Not saying that. It simply means that all of God's leaders must recognize that they will receive specific responsibilities by those over them in the Lord. The word commission here means a charge. It means a responsibility or a constitution. Paul used similar language when he addressed his faithful servant Timothy. In 1 Timothy 1:18, 5:21, 6:13, and 17, all leaders must be willing to receive a special charge given to them from the Lord through those over them in spiritual authority. Now, it's one thing to be commissioned and one thing to be called, but it's another thing to shoulder the responsibility. How do you do that, Dr. V? Let's go to Numbers 27 and 20. God told Moses to place some of his authority upon Joshua. How heavy that mantle must have been, so that the congregation would obey him. God did not tell Moses to put all of his authority upon Joshua in an instance halfway up the mountain. Joshua had to take his authority and responsibility how? Gradually. Don't do it suddenly. It's a disservice to you and those that are following you. Too many leaders want full authority immediately, but this is very unwise. DiMaggio says here, the reception of authority comes from a proper recognition and obedience to authority, of authority. The verb to obey literally means to hear under, to sit under, you know, to glean from. God was the authority over Moses, right? And Moses had to obey what God spoke to him. Even if God had to he mess it up, if he break it up, if he throw it down, he got to go back and rewrite it, right? Lord have mercy. Moses showed us a lot. But he showed us his realness. He was a man, right? And so, yeah, he showed us, the scripture showed us to where he blew it a couple of times. But we see God's patience with Moses, right? As we will see God's patience with Joshua. Too many leaders, again, want full authority immediately, but this is very unwise. The reception of authority comes from a proper recognition and obedience of authority. The verb to obey literally means, I'm repeating this because it's so important, to hear under. God was over Moses. Moses was over Joshua. Moses had to obey God, what God said. Similarly, Joshua was under authority of Moses, and Moses directed him to do such and such and such and such. Likewise, today's leaders must learn to take their responsibility how? Gradually. So those over them in the Lord, give it to them. They, as it is given, they must learn not to demand too much too soon, which may well lead to their own pride and also what? Their own destruction. Obtaining guidance through the word of the Lord is key. Numbers 27 and 21. Please write that down and circle it. Receiving authority by Moses before the congregation did not relieve Joshua from the need of seeking God's guidance. Can I say that again? I love my mentor, Miss Brenda. She was amazing. She was the walking Bible. But there were times, oftentimes, I had to go directly to God for myself to get the revelation that Verlene needed to proceed forward in my ministry as I go forward. So I needed both of them. I needed Brenda as my great mentor. I needed to have a little talk with Jesus. I needed the Lord's guidance. Moses told this younger leader that he must go to Eleazar the priest to receive guidance from the Lord, who represented the Lord back then, the priests, through the Urim and the Thummim, even as any other member of the congregation. Moses was a great mentor. The process of receiving guidance from Eleazar was a foreshadowing of today's direct guidance by the Godhead. Urim, which means light, is comparable to the Father. Thummim, which means perfections, is comparable to the Holy Spirit. And the guidance of Eleazar is comparable to the working of Jesus Christ. Okay? The New Testament tells us that the Father is what? The Father of lights in James 1 and 17. And that the Holy Spirit brings the church to perfections of truth, John 4:14 through 16. And finally, listen to this, that Jesus Christ is the final high priest over the household of God, Hebrews 1 and 5. Thus, every leader, you and I included, must continually realize that no matter how much authority and how much responsibility we have, we still must seek the Lord for guidance and direction, just like all the rest of the congregation. I find that so crippling for leaders to think that once they get in a leadership position, that the buck stops with them, that they have all the authority, they have all the wisdom, they know where to go, they've seen the vision, they've seen a great light, they got it written down, God showed it to them in a dream. But guess what? God can show you something, but he still wants you to lean and depend on him every step of the way to get there. Hello? To get there. Stay connected. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, Trust in the Lord when? How? With all your heart. Do what? Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, every step of the way, I say, acknowledge him and he will do what? Direct your path. Go with that. Okay? Moses declared that both Eleazar and his congregation will go in and out of the word of at the word of Joshua. In other words, he declared that he was a leader. And as he received guidance from the Lord, Joshua was not suddenly commanding the people arbitrarily to go out and to come in. Joshua, as a shepherd husbandman or farmer, had already put into practice that he was now commissioning the people to do. 27 and 17. In other words, the great follower became a what? Great leader. Joshua was a great follower. follower. He sit under the authority of Moses and was led. He was admonishing the people to do the same thing as he had done. Just as Joshua himself had already actively served in the congregation, every leader must make sure that he first does what he asks his people to do. Let me repeat that. We must first do what we asked our people to do. Go to God. Get continual guidance. Enjoy his presence. This is being halfway up the mountain. Pursue and enjoy and linger in the presence of the Lord. Expect his guidance. Follow his guidance. Be a great follower so you can be a what? Great leader. God told Israel that none who were over 20 years of age would go in to see the promised land except Caleb and Joshua. Why? Except for these two young leaders, all Israel refused to have faith about entering into the land. God declared that Caleb and Joshua followed the Lord fully. In this and in encouraging Israel to possess the land of Abraham, they were excellent examples of true believers. Joshua stood as a man of faith and confidence in God's promise for the nation to inherit the promised land. So every one of God's leaders should ask himself, come on, this is the question. Am I, Dr. V, are you an example of the faith and confidence in God that others can follow? I'm going to ask you that question. Are you the example? Come on, love your making. Are you in the example? Are you the example of faith and confidence in God that others can follow? Joshua, among the assembly of elders, when Moses spoke with the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh about possessing Canaan, Moses gave command concerning these tribes to Eleazar the priest and to the heads of the father's household and also to Joshua. In other words, Moses consulted with the elders in Numbers 32 and 28. Similarly, the more a leader follows the Lord, the more he will find himself or herself invited and commissioned to consult with elders. You know what the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's what? Much safety. In addition, spending time among the elders will greatly benefit the Christian leader. The Bible says, he that walks with wise men will be wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Proverbs 13 and 20. Even older leaders need each other's counsel. You know, I thought I was going to get to this in two parts, but I'm going to stop right here because we really need three parts, because I really want to go into it with you even further to talk about how you receive encouragement as an elder leader, how you receive counsel, how much important it is for you to be filled with the spirit of wisdom, and how important it is for you to have a covenant relationship with the Lord. So again, part three. Yeah, it's okay. We can exhaust this. Joshua was a great leader, and he can't just be quickly summed up in 50 minutes. And so we're going to go to part three, and then if it takes part four, so be it. We got time, right? Thank God we have time. Listen, I love you dearly. We're talking about Joshua as our mentee in this series, Halfway Up the Mountain, as a leader in Love You're Making. And we're also talking about Exodus. Exodus now is a massive departure from a mindset that will keep you in bondage and other people as well. Thank God that Joshua was a courageous servant. He was a courageous leader. He was obedient to the word of God. He was obedient to his mentors. And we see the results of that. He was able to go in and take the people who were trusting God into Canaan land. Where can you take people if you don't trust God, if you don't obey God, if you don't believe God, and you lack the courage and the wisdom to be a student, a servant first? Amen. Before you become a leader. Listen, I love you so much. We'll talk again for part three the next time we're together. You have been tuned in and listening to Dr. V via the Spirit of the Lord in Love Your Making. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Benita Dorries with Create Your Own You. And as I always say, become the person who you want to become and not what others want you to become. So I hope everyone is having a great day, a great evening, great morning. It depends on where you at around the world. I hope everything is going good for you. I'm sending, you know, good vibes to everybody out there in the world. You know, nowadays we need good vibes, and I hope everybody is practicing a lot of positivity more so than negativity. And, you know, we just got to keep on moving every day. We got to keep moving. We got to get up, and we got to just grind and keep moving on a day-to-day basis. Yes, we're going to have obstacles, and we're going to have things, barriers to stop us from doing what we set out to do. But the thing is to make sure that you continue to complete that goal or continue to complete that object that you wanted to do. Because once that barrier gets in your way, then you're going to just stop and you feel like you can't do it no more. But the goal is not to give up. The goal is to keep going, keep fighting, keep doing what you're doing. Keep, you know, if you're out there, if you wanted to start a business, keep starting that business. If you wanted to write a book, keep on writing and write and write. And, you know, whatever it is that you're interested in, you know, spending more time with family, even though sometimes, you know, your family may be difficult to get everybody together, just, you know, reach out to one or two people. Just keep that positive vibe going through the family and just stay in contact with everyone. At this time, we do need a lot of positivity with everything that's going on in the world today. So just get up and be thankful that you woke up and you've seen another brighter day. You've seen the sun in the sky. You see the blue sky and the white clouds, depending on where you are. It might even be a rainstorm, but just be grateful that you got up to see that rainstorm. Okay, so today's topic is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about skill set. You know, a lot of us tend to think that we don't have skill sets, and we all have skills. But, you know, we don't think of skills as, you know, something that we do on a day-to-day basis. We think of our skill sets on our jobs. And when we're on our job, we think in our skill sets, you know, okay, at work, I'm a good organizer. I can, you know, I can type 62 words per minute. You know, at work, I can lead a conference or a team meeting. I can, you know, write a proposal to get into my boss by, you know, 3 o'clock deadline. You know, a lot of times we think about our skill sets just relating to just work and nothing more. But we have a lot of skill sets that's actually outside of work. And then some of the skill sets that you have, you can actually transition outside to something that you want to do. So with the skill sets, you know, because it took me a long time to figure out, you know, exactly what my skill sets were. And I always just related it to work because I was really good at work. You know, I was really good at getting those deadlines in by a certain time. I was really good at, you know, hosting a team meeting or making sure everybody is at the team leader meeting, you know, sending out the emails. I'm a team player, you know, what goes around the morale at work, that's normally, you know, I'm making sure, you know, I'm included in what is going on. So, you know, I at work, I'm good. I can do a lot of things when it comes to at work. And, you know, I started thinking about, you know, what are those skill sets that I have at work that I can transition into some type of a business? And I started thinking, you know, in business, what you need? You need leadership. You need someone who could do a presentation. You need someone that could do emails or email blasts. You need someone that can be organized. So I started looking at those things. I'm like, oh, I can transition this to a business. Or I could just transition this to something I need to do at home or out in the community. You know, out in the community, they need a lot of leaders, and they need a lot of people to organize people. So a lot of my skill sets that I really didn't think that was that important because I just only related it to work, you know, I said, you know what, I can do more with this skill set, and I could teach people outside of work on becoming in leadership. So that's what I want you to think about today. What type of skill sets do you believe you have that you can utilize that you think you can't utilize? So for example, some skill sets, like some of us are parents and some of us are not. I'm not a parent, so I don't have a skill set in parenting. I have no idea about it. But parents, you know, if you have – let's, you know, have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, you've learned along the way different skill sets for each one of those kids that you have, because all the kids aren't the same. So you had to learn a different skill set for each one of them to get them by each day. You know, somebody may be slower, one of the kids may be slower than the other child. The other child may be fast. They get up in the morning and they get up and they do brush, you know, take their showers, brush their teeth, wash their, you know, face or whatever the case may be, get their clothes on, iron their clothes. Where you got the other child that's a little bit slower, you had to learn patience. You know, you just had to learn patience with that one particular child. Patience is a skill set. You know, people don't look at patience as a skill set, but it is a skill set that you've learned over time that you can build into something. So if you have that patience of someone not moving fast, or you have that patience of an elderly parent who you know also don't move fast, you can take that patience skill, and you can turn that into some type of a business, because a lot of business owners if you're looking for a new job, a lot of business owners or you know, jobs are looking for people that are patient, you know, that can be patient with some things that are going on, especially if it's a high-paced place. You have to have some patience with some high-paced working environments. So, you know, things like that, patience, that's an excellent skill set, because I know me, I sometimes can be not a patient person, especially when I'm at the, I don't know if you're at the grocery lines and they only got 2 tellers and it's like 10 people in each line. I don't have the patience to sit there and wait. It's just something that I can't do. Whereas others, they can sit there and they can wait the whole 20 minutes until they get up front, or however long it takes them to get up front, and be perfectly fine with that. But my skill set and patience is I can't do, you know, a 2-lane grocery store with 10 people in each line, and then each person has, you know, carts full of food. That's something that I can't do. I'm just not patient enough to do that. So, you know, people that are very, very patient, I know a lot of patient people that's patient, like my mom. She's an extremely patient person. She could put up with anything to an extent, but she's way more patient than what I am. So those are some of the things that you want to also look at. Just think about if you was you know, as a hobby, you was a photographer. Now, a lot of people, you know, they're interested into photography, but they don't know how to go about and do it. Why don't you take that skill set and teach people how to become great at taking pictures? And it don't even have to be on an elaborate camera. You know, a lot of people in photography can use the cell phone and make the pictures by the time they edit and clean the backgrounds up and use the software that they have to use to clean up. A lot of times the pictures come out look like they used in a very, very expensive camera. So you could teach a course on how to shoot great pictures with a cell phone. And most of us have cell phones, and a lot of us take pictures with our cell phone, but why not teach a course on how to take a proper picture with a cell phone, the lighting that you need, the angles you need, you know, how to get really close up and the picture don't look too fuzzy. You know, a lot of cameras already come with the automated stuff, but a lot of people in photography can clean it up even better to make it look really, really sharp, as if it was, on, you know, shot on a a $1,500 camera or a $2,000 camera. You know, you just never know. You know, photography is a great skill set for a lot of people who it would be interested in learning just the basics of taking pictures. You know, there's a lot to go with. A lot of people just think, you know, just shoot the picture and that's it. But there's a lot of detail and background that go with photography. So if you are a photographer, think about doing some type of a course or some type of a class, a live class on Facebook or a live class on Zoom or all these other different platforms to teach people how to take proper pictures. You know, that's a skill set. You know, a skill set that I can never learn. I've tried this skill set plenty of times, and I just cannot get it, guys. I just can't get it. And that's knitting or crocheting. I've tried to do this since I was a kid, and it's just one of those different skills that you have to be very, very particular on where this needle go to make the right pattern. You know, a lot of people, I know several friends who do knitting or crochet, and they make beautiful sweaters, they make beautiful hats, they make beautiful jackets, and they even doing shorts and tank tops now out of yarn. You know, it's become this booming industry that they, you know, that's, you know, when I was younger, it was really popular because I've seen a lot of the older people doing it. And, you know, that was just what they did. Now it's becoming popular with the younger crowd because they're noticing that they can make shorts with it and they can make the little tank tops with it and be okay. As, you know, it's something that I've always wanted to learn, and I have tried and I have learned it, but it's just one of those things that I'm just not really good at. So things that I'm just not really good at, I don't tend to keep trying to do. So, you know, you can teach somebody on, you know, a class on, you know, I know a lot of places we can't go to have a nice size, you know, 50 people in a room or something like that. But I think now you can, you know, rent a little space out and do about 10 people at a time and, you know, have them come with their own yarn and their own needles and teach them the basics of crocheting or knitting. That way people have, you know, they can learn a new skill and they can, you know, make their blankets and their coats and things of that nature that they would like to make, because it's a wonderful hobby that's actually a skill that you can teach other people. You know, you got to think of the skill set of, you know, what you can teach somebody else to and have them learn it. You know, you got to look at other things such, you know, if you have a skill set. Let's say you have a skill set in possibly writing books. I know a young lady that's out there that helped people write books in 30 days. And she's always on Facebook. She always promoting. She's helped people get their books done, written in 30 days. Some people, she got them to write their books within a 24-hour time span, or from a Friday, she do a boot camp, and they do from Friday to Sunday, or Saturday to Sunday, she do like a book camp, and they do write their books out. She teach them on Zoom, and she have them outline their books. She have them do the titles of their books, and they take time and they write and stuff in those little sections. By the time her book camp is over, she have the individuals. And, you know, next step is going to editing. Next step is going to formatting. You know, she does this constantly over and over and over again. So her skill set that she learned was how to get books out in 30 days, or books written, I should say, in 30 days. And then how to get it to the editor so they can read it and get someone to do your cover of your book. So she's a professional in that particular area. Her name is Taria Avant. She's at Taria Avant. And she's actually helped me, you know, create my books. And, you know, the way she do it is like a very simple process. You know, most people think writing a book can be very tedious, very daunting, and time-consuming, but the way she do it is very, very easy, you know. And she has her style, and the way she shows people how to do her style, you'd be very surprised that you'll have a book written over the weekend. So that's her skill set. She enjoys, that's what she enjoys. So think that, you know, I would say just jot down a list of items that you're really, really good at. So, like, some of the items that I have down is that I can decorate wine glasses, and I can make them very, very elaborate. No, it takes a skill to do that because you have to be very precise in how you're doing your wine glasses. Like, I do mine with glitter. I do it with material. You know, it's a very different, a couple of different ways I do the wine glasses. So, you know, I can teach people how to do that also. You know, the other thing is I like to ride motorcycles. You know, that's one of my things I like to do. Although I haven't got a chance to ride too much this summer. Actually, I haven't rode at all this summer. My bike is just sitting in the backyard. But, you know, I can teach people that skill on how to ride a motorcycle if I chose to. You know, so you know, I like to do painting in a house. A lot of people don't like to paint rooms in their house because they think you're going to make a mess. You know, one of the things I could do is show you how to paint without making a mess in your rooms or having paint splatters on the floor. You know, those are different types of skills that I've learned over the years to do that, you know, I didn't think was really a skill to even teach or show somebody how to do. You know, also with, I could teach people how to travel on a budget. You know, I was a travel agent. I kind of took time off now due to what is going on now. But, you know, I was a travel agent, and I can show you how to plan a perfect 4-day vacation on a budget. You know, those are things that I can show people and teach people. I can also teach somebody for a 4-day vacation how to pack for 4 days with one suitcase, and that's a carry-on, onto the plane. I never have more than 2 bags when I go on a plane. I never have to actually pay for my bags to be on a plane. My bags go on with me when I get on an airplane. So I'm really good at packing clothes for 4 days that I can take on the plane with me and where I don't have to pay the airlines to store my bags underneath the plane. So those are, you know, different skill sets that I have and that I, you know, have showed people how to do. You know, I see people going away. It was funny because I seen this one person going, and she was going away for like 5 days and had 3 suitcases. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are all these suitcases for? You're only going for 5 days. You do not need all of these suitcases for 5 days. So, you know, it's just this point of showing people, like, okay, half the stuff you're not even going to wear, especially if you're going into a hot zone, you know, the heat is up past 85, 90. You don't need a lot of stuff to wear. You know, a couple of sundresses, some sandals, and, you know, some shorts, whatever the case may be. But you don't need a lot of clothes to decide when you get on that trip what to wear. And that's one thing about how I do it. I don't decide what I'm going to wear on a trip when I'm there. I decide what I'm going to wear on a trip when I'm already at home. So that's what I know I'm going to pack. Of course, I probably pack a long sleeve sweater or a jacket just in case it got chilly on the nights, and maybe a pair of sweatpants or something. But other than that, you know, if I know I'm going to Jamaica, I'm going to the Bahamas, I'm going to Cancun, you know, most of those places are hot zones, so I don't need a lot of stuff to pack. So, you know, me showing people how to pack is actually, it's quite funny and interesting to see how much stuff people take on a trip. So those skill sets, I want you guys to sit down, and I want you to jot things out. You know, what can you do or what skill sets that you have throughout the day? Like I said earlier, one could be organization. One could be leadership. One can be teaching, you know, the patience level. You may know how to do the photography. You may be somebody who know how to build websites. You can teach people how to build websites. Now, building a website is a skill in itself, because you haven't built a website, it's just tedious, and it's just to the point where you just don't want to do it. So you always want to, you know, just pay somebody else to build your website. But people out there that can build websites, they can show people how to build websites, you know, make some earn some extra income that way. So, like I said before, I want you to just sit down. Take about, you know, 15 minutes and think about, like, what can I do? What do I consider a skill? You know, because what I consider a skill may not be the same thing what you consider a skill. You know, I have a lot of friends that's from Africa that I talk to, and this one of the skills that they have that I couldn't, you know, that I can't do is that they have a knack for carrying things on their head using their neck muscles. And my friend has tried to show me over, she showed me how they do it. And, you know, it's just one of them things like, this is, it's awesome because, you know, doing something like that takes a skill. You know, that she learned at a very early age, and she learned how to do it, and she said it's pretty easy. I just watched her do it. I didn't really want to try it, but I watched her do it, and she was like, it's just really simple. It's just something that we learn when we're younger, so we don't really think about of it being some type of skill, but it's actually a balancing skill. You know, and if you learn to have some type of balancing skill, you could take that balancing skill and you could teach other people how to balance things. And, you know, once you learn how to balance one item, you could balance probably pretty much anything else. That's like doing juggling, how they balance the, they have a stick and they have a plate rotating on a stick. That's balancing. So you got to think of all these different areas that you can, you know, have a skill set in that I wouldn't think would be a skill set. And other people probably wouldn't think would be a skill set either. So being that, you know, people come from different areas and different parts of the country, they have skill sets over there that us over here in the U.S., we don't have. So think about what is in your community and in your country and in your culture that you think that's a skill set that you probably can teach people over in the U.S. that don't have no idea about it. So like I said, just take that time and think about what are the special skills that you have. And yeah, we're going to call them special skills because some of these are really special skills other than, you know, skills, regular skills is just your, you know, I won't say just, but, you know, organization, leadership, you know, the patience. But your special skills are the ones that I was really relating to of you know, the motorcycle training, the photography, the website building, the balancing. You know, all those we're going to consider, we're going to call those special skills outside of addition to the skills that we already know. Because what we can do is we can collaborate both the skills and the special skills all together so you can create some type of possibly a business or just create yourself a new hobby, you know, something that could probably be a stress reliever for you that you want to learn and make it one of your special skills. You know, a lot of people go kayaking and white water rafting. I have not done either one of them, and it was something that I wanted to learn this summer, but I haven't just had a chance to actually get out there on the water to learn any of these just yet. But I'm going to try to do it before the end of the summer. Maybe not white water rafting, because a lot of people, they really, really enjoy white water rafting. And there is a skill to that, too, because you want to make sure you're being safe and you're not going to fall out that little plastic boat that they use. So, you know, I said maybe I'll start off with learning how to actually use a kayak and learn the different ways of paddling, how to make myself go forward, turn left, go in a circle, back up, you know, things of that nature. So those are still, like, special skills that you have. So, you know, after this call, just take some time and just figure it out, like, what is it that I can do that I possibly can show somebody else? Another thing is, like, if you're into sports is really big right now because due to what's going on in the world, a lot of people are, you know, using their backyards and, you know, they're staying home friendly is what I want to call it. So they're staying home friendly. So a lot of the kids now are, you know, the stores are out of everything that has to do with kids stuff pretty much because all the parents went out and brought everything so they can keep their kids entertained for the summer because a lot of the sports activities got canceled. And being that the sports activities got canceled, the kids now are in the backyard and they're learning how to do sports on a smaller scale rather than a larger scale and also learning how to play different sports than what they probably would have played before. So they're learning a skill set to be learn multiple sports instead of just probably basketball or soccer that they're used to. Or I know where my mom lives at, they're building a cricket field over there in the community that she lives in. They're building the cricket field. So that's going to be pretty interesting. I sat and watched the cricket game the other day at one of the other parks, and it looked like something that would be pretty interesting for kids in the U.S. to learn, because cricket is not a U.S. sport, and it's, you know, maybe, you know, that when they put the field over there, more of the kids here will be more interested in learning how to play the sport of cricket. Looks pretty interesting when I was watching it, and I can't wait for them to finish the field over where my mom live at, so I can actually sit there and watch how they play this sport called cricket. Not seen it on TV, but I don't know. I'm sorry, I seen it on YouTube, or I've seen it on the videos, but I don't really know the basis or the background to that. So that'll be something I'll be learning. Probably the field might not be done by the end of the summer. It may be done by the end of the summer. But I'm pretty sure that they're going to probably play some games over there, and I'm going to sit and watch and enjoy watching them play the game of cricket. You know, it's so different. It's so diverse. It's not the average games that we would probably see in the black community over here where we live at. So it's something that brings diversity to the neighborhood, which is really great. And that's another thing with skill set. It gets you to bring diversity into an area where most times that people don't see it, you know, especially in the lower income areas of where I live at. A lot of kids don't get a chance to see different things other than what is going on around their surroundings and where they're at. Living at. So the lower income area, they just tend not to get the benefits of some other areas, you know, in the community. So putting this cricket field over there, I believe, would be, I know I just went on a whole different rant, guys, but I thought this was very important when it just popped in my head, because it could be a skill set. So we just want to, you know, bring that skill set over there and teaching the community how to, you know, play the game of cricket. I think it's going to be a wonderful, diverse game over in the community. But, you know, I'm gonna end it with this, guys. I just really want you guys to really think about your skills, your special skills. What can you do to teach people or show people how to, you know, start a new hobby? As the summer ends here in the U.S., is beginning, you know, we're getting into August, September, you know, we're going to get into the cold months. You know, we're going to be wanting to learn more stuff, you know, because we'll probably be in our houses again for the wintertime. We get a lot of snow. So I want to leave it with you. Just sit down and think about what you can do. What you may not think is a skill probably is a skill. And just jot it down and think of what you can do with it. You can start a book. You can write a course on how to do it. You can do videos. You can do live Zooms, Facebooks, things of that nature, and continue to, you know, push on. So just, you know, this is, again, Vanita DeReese with Create Your Own You. I want you to become the person who you are and not what somebody else wants you to be. Peace and blessings, and continue to have a great morning, a great afternoon, a good evening. Thanks. Have a good one.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.